You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we are discussing the European Super League. We're all fans. Everybody's in support, right?
It's going to be a big success.
Okay, got a good feeling about this one, all right? I need you to invest with me right now. We're also going to talk about Mourinho getting sacked from Tottenham, and we got some more NWSL news. So a lot to discuss today.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Raheem Edwards of LAFC. We talked about playing in Canada versus the U.S., the weather. Would he rather hang out with Drake or see Canada win a World Cup? And who has the best pizza in all the cities he's played in? That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Yes, okay, this show today is feeling quite super, if you know what I'm talking about, all right?
This can't. It's too big to fail.
That's right, okay. That should have been, the marketing campaign.
Bro, they should have put the Super League banner on the Titanic. I mean, what are you talking about? The unsinkable Super League.
Mission accomplished. All right, hello, everybody. We haven't even introduced ourselves, and already the jokes are coming through. Hello, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Fiorentino Perez Guerrero.
We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived right here on Football Sports Network.
That's also the happens to be the European super funniest, gulliest league show that ever existed. Come get it.
Okay. Look, right now, Fubo is trying to get the TV contract for the Super League. We're on top of this.
We are heavily invested in the Super League. So come on, Real Madrid and Barcelona. Stick with us, baby.
We're excited about today's show. Yes, there's a lot of Super League to discuss, but we're also going to be joined by Raheem Edwards of LAFC. He's going to be with us in just a little bit. So, obviously, we're going to have a great, great chat with him as well. Let's go. Okay. I mean, look, the past week, there's been a lot of news. Even if you're a soccer fan or not, it is inescapable. Okay.
You know, when you were a kid and your mom was like, yo, if you don't shut up, I'm turning this car right around. They don't turn the car around. You're not going to the theme park, folks.
They turn the car around. They say, get out of the car. And the car exploded. Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so look, if you do not know for whatever reason what we're talking about, obviously.
Why do you keep explaining this? If you are watching or listening to us, you know what happened.
The cliff notes. European Super League. A bunch of clubs in Europe tried to break away from their domestic leagues and start their own yearly league where they're always a part of it, a Champions League that they do not have to qualify for, and it didn't work. It didn't work very quickly.
You know what? We don't know if it worked or not. All I can say is no one liked the idea. Opened up a restaurant. You were like, hey, we're going to have veggie made beef jerky is all we're gonna serve. And nobody showed up. People protested. And you're like, guess what? We're selling hot dogs, baby. The kid's back. What do you want?
So absolute madness. I mean, it really in the middle of the night, Sunday, last week is when the news came out. That all these clubs, I mean, Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester United, Manchester
Real Madrid,
City,
Barcelona, Inter Milan, AC Milan,
a lot of these clubs, they were, they put their name on the list because, they saw this happening. They were like, you know what? I don't want to be left out of the party. So, count me in, okay?
they were like, I want to be a founding member. I think this will be a good mark on my club's history.
And obviously, supporters were not happy one bit. No. It was just the
supporters weren't happy. people who don't like soccer weren't happy. Because
they have to start hearing about soccer. They're like, get this out of my newsfeed.
Oh, come on. Why is this in my ESPN top 10?
No, obviously, so many people were furious about this. This would, effectively change European soccer. I mean, it would change world soccer because
it would have changed soccer all over the world. Yeah,
these brands, these teams are brands. They are huge, huge. I mean, they are publicly traded companies. A few of them. This would have changed the landscape for the sport.
You know what has changed? Is what? How people view Americans in the world in the sport involved in the sport of soccer. Apparently, we're the bad guys here. All right.
Damn, oh, no. we're colonizing your sport, dog.
Damn, fam, you did it to our country. We're doing it to your sport, my G. Yo, remember when we saved y'all from Germany? Come on.
And Germany was like, yo, we don't want any part of this madness.
Germany was like, I don't know, historically, this might make us look bad. And we're like, yo, you normally don't worry about that.
So absolutely insane. I mean, and you know, everybody's been watching the news about what's been going on. Obviously, the Super League is not happening, at least for now, but there's been a couple casualties along the way. You know, these owners, these executives, they're going to have to answer for this attempted coup, right?
And there's resignations. There's people getting called. There's protests in front of every stadium that was involved. It's getting wild. One of the first names to drop is Ed Woodward from Manchester United, who, by the way, everyone, it's like a universal, even his kids are happy he quit. Like, no one wanted him.
When literally not one person is supportive of, like, oh man, hate to see him go. He did so much for the club. You don't, not even those. You don't even get.
Damn, you got nobody got your back. Your assistant, nobody.
It's hard to grasp. Being so disliked. I mean, at some point, you just have to like it, right? You have to, like, love being a villain? I don't understand.
But it's the only way I keep going. Being disliked by a lot of people? That's amazing. That's my whole life, bro.
But he resigned. And this was fascinating, too, because a few days ago, the reasoning that of his resignation that he put out was basically saying I had to resign because I didn't like what these Manchester United owners were doing and trying to get us into the Super League. It's like, whoa, man.
Bro, that's how you dismount.
You signing the Super League contract is on your hands. What are you talking about?
He's got the John Hancock signature, the biggest one, and he's like, I don't know what these fools were doing. That's why I had to leave. I'm with y'all. Down with Woodward. Down with Woodward. Bruh, how you leave when it's your fault and say, like, I'm glad I left. You saw what they pressured me to do?
Absolute insanity. I think all these executives are going to look, they have to answer for what they did because it's going to be difficult for them to just show up at games and just be like, hey, you know, great goal there, buddy. People are going to not really respect them or really welcome them back into their stadium. So if they decide to stay with their clubs, it is not going to be a good experience for them.
I mean, at this point, you got to go, especially if you're with the owners. They're calling, they're burning effigies of the Glazers. They want the Glazers gone. Kroenke out is everywhere. In fact, even Mikel Arteta was like, look, the players have a right to say what they want. The fan, damn, that's your boss, dog. Even you were like, I don't know, you know?
The dude from the Liverpool owner, I forgot his name.
John Henry, he apologized, though.
He did a TED talk. Literally, he had to do a YouTube apology. He was like Logan Paul, you know?
Slow zooming on him. Hello, folks. I came here today to say I'm sorry. Bro, he went full produced apology.
Yo, man, it's wild. And it is fascinating seeing the American, it's Americans apologizing.
The accent upset me so much. Yeah. I'm like, pretend you're British. He was like, I would have been like, cheerio, mate. It made me feel so bad. I'm like, oh, he talks like me. Also, we haven't heard from LeBron, dog.
Yeah.
LeBron's part owner of Liverpool. What did he have to do with this, huh?
It would be fascinating to know, like, LeBron led the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Like, he's like, yo, I got an idea.
Okay. All right. It's just absolutely fascinating. So, look, it's so the drama, the gossip. I mean, this has made the sport, I mean, even for the next couple of years, this is going to be a punchline. It's going to be a storyline. It's going to be a joke. I can't wait for the Netflix, like, feature film. Who's going to play Fiorentino Perez?
This got to be a 60 for 60. Forget a 30 for 30. I need to see everything. I want to know who was the first person to bring this up. And I want to know who went second. You know what I mean? Who was like, I like that because, yo, this is going to be...
Yeah,
Gerard Depardieu. I mean, we're gonna have whatever my guy's name is. We're gonna have some serious actors.
Any foreign name, just throw in there.
Jean Renault, is he still alive? Get that dude playing in a Glazer.
Shave your head. You're Gianni Infantino. Do
Get
it.
In here. Guess what? Wear this ugly mustache. You're Kroenke. It's just Zac Efron in a white mustache. Christian, I don't know if you saw this. Tottenham obviously sacked Jose Mourinho, which is the only thing that happened during the European Super League. He's officially the only manager to be sacked from the European Super League, which I love.
It is quite the honor that will be bestowed upon him.
I mean, come on. First of all, if you're going to be... Everyone questioned why Tottenham was even in a Super League, you know? Mm-hmm. And then to be the only action to happen is that you fire your manager is pretty perfect. But, I mean, this is what Mourinho does, right? He goes somewhere. There's a lot of excitement. He ruins the career of one or two players, mm-hmm. right? You know what I mean? He catches two bodies. He typically wins a trophy, but in true Tottenham fashion, that didn't happen. Yeah. And then he gets sacked, fired, whatever you want to call it. But this time, I think his agent was pretty smart, and they put in a little bit of a golden parachute, if you will.
Yeah, there was, a rumor or leaked audio about, you know, we knew pretty much in any scenario where if a manager gets removed, they have to kind of pay out their contract or something along those lines. There's usually some sort of agreement. And apparently there's some... You know, depending on where he was at in the table when he got sacked, would determine how much money he was going to be paid out.
Which makes sense, right? Like, if why would you fire him if he's in the top four? But that should be like, you should pay him a lot more money because he got you there. But if you're like in 16th place, you're like, bruh. Here's a bag of chips. You know what I mean? Get the hell out of our stadium.
You know, and it's going to be open, all right? I took some, all right? Yeah,
I only left you the ones that are, like, half burnt out, just so you know.
But, I mean, you say that, like, yeah, why would you fire someone if they're, like, in top four? Why did they fire Mauricio Pochettino and brought in Jose Mourinho when they were just in Champions League, the Champions League final?
The guy took you to the Champions League final and you fire him? It makes Tottenham is being wild Tottenham. You know what I mean? And it cost them £16 million. £16 million pounds to fire Jose Mourinho. That's his payoff. Like, mm-hmm. dude, like, that's a pretty good midfielder. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It really makes... you know, again, this news about Mourinho kind of gets buried. And if this Super League stuff wasn't going on, we would be wanting to see comments from Jose. Any interview, you know, people are now making people love Jose Mourinho as a reality TV star at this point. You know, they're making Mourinho fan cams. All right. Because he is obviously the fodder is incredible. He's wildly entertaining, especially when his teams are losing. Right?
He shoots from the hip. The problem is he's shooting at his own players.
You know? You know okay, what I mean? This it's live ammunition, Jose. Take
Stop
it easy.
Stop firing. Go the other way. You know. I don't know if you heard this, but apparently after he got fired, he stuck around for 4 hours. Now I just have a question for you: if you were to get fired from a job and you stuck around for 4 hours, what do you think those 4 hours would be filled with?
I mean, breaking all the equipment. I don't know.
Right? You out here destroying stuff. You're going into people's offices you don't belong in, and you're speaking your mind. Well, that's exactly what he did. The problem is He did it to his own players. Leave these guys alone.
Yeah.
They played for you. Apparently, he told what the English call home truths, which is so quaint in English.
What does that mean? I've never heard that before.
I mean, he spilled that real tea. He talked that real shit, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
He was like, y'all want to know something about Dele Alli? You know, basically, is what he did. He like mocked the players and said, like, here's why you weren't good enough to play.
Yeah.
And here's your problem, which, I mean, it's kind of classless to do that.
Of course.
The same time, wouldn't you want to hear that?
Yeah. If
you were a player,
no, man.
Wouldn't you want to hear, like, I would love to hear, like, if I got banned from a club, right? A comedy club, I'd love to hear, like, here's why. You have too many jokes about this, or
no, but it won't be that. It would be you. Why did you? There was an old lady in a wheelchair. Why did you go after her so aggressively?
You don't sit them in the front row if you don't want to get got. I play by Jose rules, bro. You walk in the dressing room.
You don't need to.
You're a warrior,
Alexis. You don't need to ask because there's video evidence, bro. We know.
I would love to know if I was a player. I low key would love. First of all, love to hear. What, like, if they sat us down, if Jose Mourinho was a producer of this show, and then he got let go from Fubo, and then he sat you and I down and started telling, I would love to hear what he's going to say about you. You know what I mean?
You know, but he says anything about you, you're like, whoa, 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 slow it down. All right.
Hey, whoa.
That is the look. I would want a guidance, advice, support, right? We're all trying to succeed together. Why isn't Jose Mourinho, his management style is, I'm going to give you the tough love, and hopefully that'll bring the best out of you. And maybe that did work a couple years ago. He's won titles in different countries with massive clubs. But, you know, times are changing, right? The game is changing. How you manage players, you know, there's also a different level of, you know, some people may say it's soft, you know, or whatever, but there's a different sensitivity in the workplace that maybe his management style doesn't really work anymore.
Are you saying Jose Mourinho is problematic with his management style?
Okay, I know the first person to say it, but it had to be said.
As he's stabbing an image on the whiteboard of a player to show what he would do if he could, you're saying he's problematic. You know what? He is kind of like that old school manager of I'm going to break you like a horse kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I think you're kind of right. I think to some degree, like, that's kind of not cool anymore. But it also seems to work, right? Like, yeah, he does. Other than Tottenham, he seems to win trophies.
It worked in the past.
Oh, do you think he's done? You think he's washed?
I mean, Manchester United, I mean, wasn't super successful. He did win a trophy.
He won the treble, which was like the Community Shield, Carabao Cup.
He did okay, but look.
He won the terrible.
My main question, does Mourinho at the very least get another job in the Premier League? Do you think he's going to get another job?
What if he goes to Everton?
He's never going to Everton. He's never going to. They would never.
Would you be happy or would you be upset? Let's say Ancelotti leaves. He's not happy. He really wanted to be a part of the Super League.
Wildly upset. Were Tottenham fans happy when Mourinho got there? I don't think so. He had a couple good games, and that's about it.
Here's why I guarantee you Mourinho still gets a top flight job. I don't know if it's in the Premier League. He might go back to Portugal. He might go to Spain. I guarantee you he gets a big, big top flight job. Because he brings ad money. Like, people pay attention to your club more.
Maybe.
More people talked about Tottenham with him there than they did without him. Okay. They should start selling Mourinho kits. You know what I mean? It sells, baby.
Mourinho to MLS. Let's go. Make it happen. All right? We need
it. Let's go. Let's go. Look out, Vancouver Whitecaps. Here comes Mourinho.
All right, let's talk about NWSL. The Challenge Cup has been going on. It's been wildly entertaining. It's been some crazy games.
It's been so much fun. Not as much fanfare as the last Challenge Cup because we're not all locked in our homes, you know, mm-hmm. with tanks driving around spraying insecticide or whatever was happening. But yeah, it's still so much fun. I mean, it's a great competition format. I love the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, and just a couple big matches, right? Just recently, the North Carolina Courage took on Gotham FC. And
if you don't know, North Carolina Courage were like perennial champs. They were like the Real Madrid of NWSL.
Yeah, and now I think especially since Crystal Dunn left and went to Portland Thorns, and now you look at the Portland Thorns, and they're doing great. I wonder what happened there.
Oh, wow. seems like if you don't have Dunn, you done. You know what I mean?
So that I think that's the biggest surprise. You know, even though Crystal Dunn was, you know, played as an attacker as opposed to a defender, which she plays for the U.S. Women's National Team, I'm just surprised to see the North Carolina Courage give up 4 goals in a game, right? You're not like regularly used to seeing that. They were actually, you know, usually much more, you know, consistent when it came to the defensive.
And also in the back of your head, you're just like, well, they let him have that many goals, right? Because it's North Carolina Courage. No, you're like, they just want to score more.
But props to Gotham, right? Because I think the rebrand, you know, it has changed, I think, more than just it's not just a logo. You know what I mean? They're playing with a different confidence, a different energy.
The new kit is a performance enhancing, apparently, because it's a different energy all around. And there's also something about it where, remember Sky Blue didn't have a city or state attached to it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like this team plays a little Jersey in New York now? There's a little grittiness, right? There's like a little, like,
yeah,
out of my way. You know what I mean? Like, you get what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah, it is, you know, it's a bacon, egg, and cheese before the game. It is.
It feels very Timberland-ish, you know?
Yeah, we all love it. Okay, so let's take a quick look at the current standings in the NWSL, the East and West Division. I mean, in first place, Gotham FC is in, and I don't think a lot of people expected this or, you know.
Big wins.
Yeah, but they're big wins, right? Against Orlando and against the Courage. It's a really huge result. And also in the West, the Portland Thorns have already qualified for the Challenge Cup final.
They're all on vacation. That's how good they played in those first 3 matches, 3 wins. Well, I want to point out, though, in second place is Houston Dash with 2 draws. Yo, how trash is Group B, yo? 2 draws get you in second place?
No, I think the surprise here is the Dash, you know, especially after winning the Challenge Cup, it is a surprise that I don't think they scored a goal yet. I could be wrong about that. As you know, by the time this airs, they probably have already. But they just really haven't looked very good. I mean, there isn't that same excitement and energy in the attack that was present last season. So it's kind of frustrating because I think they kind of were hoping to repeat as champs again.
Because they kind of were like that Golden State Warrior Splash Brother kind of thing. Like, they were just banging in goals during the last Challenge Cup. And to your point, their next match is on Monday. So no, they have not scored. They have a 0-0 draw with Chicago Red Stars and a 0-0 draw with OL Reign. So no goals, bro. No shake room celebrations.
I'll be honest. I watch soccer for the goals. I want some goals from the Dash, all right? Like, it might just be me. I don't know, but.
You know, I think the guy who puts the nets up or the lady who puts the nets up might be saying the same thing. Like, I'm doing this for a reason. Like, I see just one of y'all trying to hit the back of his joint.
I don't even need to bother.
Let's take the goals down. I mean, why am I pulling them out, you know?
Obviously, keep watching the Challenge Cup. I mean, the very, very entertaining games. And so a lot to look
Mitch
forward to.
Mitch Purse. Calm down, yo. You burning everybody. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
Very, very much so. And again, we have a lot to look forward to. Raheem Edwards of LAFC will be joining us. So just come right back.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I just want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, us, and you guys being Gully Squad. And you know what? Maybe I keep saying you. Maybe you're listening to this and you're not a member of Gully Squad and you're wondering why. Well, I've given you amazing, you know, reasons why. I've told you the Slack channel is absolutely amazing. Here's another reason why I think Gully Squad is absolutely incredible and why you should join is because whenever we have guests and we've had everything from World Cup winners to MLS, Premier League, NWSL, legends of the game, we've had incredible, incredible players on our show, incredible guests from comedians like Roy Wood Jr. of The Daily Show, incredible guests. The only people who get to ask them questions besides Christian and I are Gully Squad. Gully Squad finds out early who our guests are, and they get the chance to put those questions in the Slack. Those are the only other questions we ever ask. If you want to be one of those folks, if you want to join the amazing Slack channel, if you want to get a, become a part of this community, if you want to start, you know, cooperating with some of the Gulliest kit, the kit that they're making for themselves, if you want to drop some knowledge in the coffee or the beer and wine liquor section or the food porn section, all that, you got to join Gully Squad. Most importantly, if you also want to ask questions of our guests, you either got to become a Cooligan, which is impossible, right? Unless you're funnier than Christian, then try out, let me know. Or you got to join Gully Squad and join that Slack community. So if you want to do that, just go to shoutstous.com. Again, that's shoutstous.com. Or you can simply go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. In fact, if you go to soccercooligans.com, it's our website. We worked really hard on it. We think it's really nice. And all over the place, you'll find buttons to join Gully Squad. So do it today. Hi, Christian. Our guest is finally here. Yes. This is incredible, right?
Very much so. Yeah, we had our first ever LAFC player on, Tristan Blackman, just a couple weeks ago, and now we're getting the entire roster's coming through.
The whole thing. We're going one by one, you know. And they said, "Who you want next?" And I said, "We want Raheem." Okay. This dude. I remember when this dude first came out for Toronto. I was like, "Oh, okay." They balling up there, you know? I didn't know. I didn't know they in the Great White North. They had it was balling like this. Now he is with LAFC. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only Raheem Edwards, everybody.
What's good, man?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Just here enjoying the LA sunshine. Being from the Great White North is enjoying the weather.
Actually, let me ask you about that real quick, because I saw you posted something on your Twitter. I don't even know what it was. But someone came at you hard. The next response was like, "We get it. You're American now."
That's the funny thing. That was actually my girlfriend making a little joke at me. I'm on a green card, right? So I always joke around with her. And my son is actually from the United States. So I joke around with her like, "Yeah, we're American. You're Canadian. We have no need for you. Just go."
That's it. You're done with the free healthcare now. You're like, "No, we American. Yeah, yeah. Come get your cheap cell phone service."
The best. American cell phone companies are the best, man.
Yeah, you obviously from Toronto and played for several clubs in MLS already. Some, you know, you played for Montreal, you played Chicago, Minnesota. You're used to cold cities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And now that you're in California, it does feel, this is the problem in LA especially, there is a little bit of a feeling of like, this isn't right, this isn't fair that,
like,
we have.
Is it like this all year round? It's just not fair.
I'll be driving on the highway, and then after I'll just be looking at the scenery. It's like, this is not real. Like, it looks like I'm in a simulated game. Like, it's like the mountains and the houses on the hills. I'm just driving like, God, this place is amazing. Like, it's almost in disgust. Like, this place is too good. Like, it's amazing, man. LA's
the first. The first time I took that drive from LA to San Diego, I almost got in a car accident because I spent the whole time looking out the window.
Yeah, I'm just looking, hit the brakes. Like, it's amazing. I know.
Dude, wifey fell asleep and I woke her up. I'm like, "You need to see this. We're driving through a postcard right now. This ain't real."
Especially like around like 7 p.m. evening time when the sun's starting to set and you just see all the houses on the hills and mount. Like, it really doesn't look real to me. Like, it's just, it
makes you want
to
wear linen.
Every day I'm in awe. Every day.
Makes you want to wear like linen and drink wine. You know, something about this body.
A cigar too, man. It's just, it's amazing. The weather's
okay. Well, yeah. I mean, Raheem's, even though your jacket now, the fabric looking soft.
So it was. I'm sorry, guys. I'm Celsius. I'm not Fahrenheit, so I might. It might sound weird to you guys, but it was 70. It was supposed to be 17 degrees Celsius all day today, cloudy. But every time I train, after I train, doesn't matter. It goes to 25 degrees, sunny as hell. Yeah. So sometimes I dress like, okay, it's gonna be cold after training. Now I'm here. But, you know,
so it's so fun.
Our producers told us that 60. You're so Canadian that that's hot for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're 60. Should I be out here in a Speedo?
I mean, I hear 17. I hear 17 degrees Celsius. I'm like, is that the inside of a volcano? I don't know how hot that is.
We don't know what Celsius means. Yeah, we're like, either you mad cold or someone's melting steel. What's happening in 17?
You know, the funny thing is, just yesterday, where I'm from, Toronto, they got snow. Like, there's literally legit snow on the ground. So it's just like, it's mind-blowing. Like, thinking, like, I was there a month ago, 2 months ago, and it's like, it was getting nice, but now it's snowing. Like, that's Canada for you. Like, you get all weather throughout the whole year, no matter what.
I mean, we went there for the MLS Cups that in the recent years.
Yeah.
And the first time it was 2016. When we were there. And it was the first time we ever got press credentials. And while we were there, we were like, all right, we'll be inside the box.
Bro,
and
we
with
dressed
the press,
nice.
We dressed comfortable. Nice
as classy as two comedians could go.
Okay. And then we get there.
We're outside we're in the top seats.
We're in the top seats. We're outdoors. I mean, it is under 20 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know why.
And stuff like that.
They must have thought, man, these two people in the press box are really excited because we were hugging. We were trying to warm each other.
It was absolutely freezing. I do want to talk about being from Toronto. We've had obviously a couple players, just Canadian players, and there is especially the Toronto area. You know, we always hear, especially like Brampton, right?
Mississauga, right? That's where you from.
Mississauga,
Mississauga. All right, I know the nickname is Saga, right?
Yeah, Saga. Saga's the nickname.
Okay, but there seems to be a real culture, a real identity. I think that people want to represent, Canadian soccer and Toronto soccer. What does that mean to you? You know, and making it to MLS and playing across the country. What is it? You know, what does it represent to you to even also play in the States as well?
No, obviously being from Toronto, I could tell you from point blank period. Kids just want to be a part of MLS. Now, I remember me growing up back when I was like 10, 11, we didn't have teams like Toronto FC to look forward to and you know, be like, hey, there's a team in my city that's playing professional soccer. I grew up obviously in the Premier League era, Arsenal, the Man United, the Man Cities. So now knowing that I'm a player from Toronto that's playing professionally and also there's obviously the league is where it's at now, I have to be a good example for kids coming up in my area to like say, hey, look, this is Raheem Edwards. This is the path he took, the way he carries himself. So I always have to be on 100. So for me, just pride to be from Toronto and be playing because I know there's so many Canadians my age, younger than me, that would be dying to be playing in the MLS, traveling and you know, experiencing the world the way I do through soccer. So it's amazing.
Now, we're both from New York. We're massive Knicks fans. I'm a massive Knicks fan.
Knicks as
a
kid, we
balling, baby. I'm feeling pretty good. You know,
I love. We're like in fifth place, and everybody's like, "Yo, y'all are killing it."
Just do it right now.
Of course. You're telling me before the season started, you thought you guys would be in fifth place? No chance.
Not even close.
Dude, I'll give you some insight. I do a joke on stage right when we started getting back on stage after like the COVID lockdowns. I have a Knicks mask. I used to say I would wear a Knicks mask because you can't catch shit with a Knicks mask. You know what I mean? I said it's called COVID-19, not COVID-19 draft pick. Like, that was my bit. But I can't say no more because we balling. But there's a kid on the team named RJ Barrett who's from Canada. And I was talking to someone. I was like, when did Canada start balling? And my buddy who's from Toronto said, yo, when Vince Carter showed up to the Raptors, it made kids want to play.
Yeah, culture shit.
But for you, do you think that's true? Do you think that made a difference? One player made that big of a difference? Where now it seems like there's an entire generation of Canadian ballers.
Exactly. But for us back in the day, I'm on a line and you know, discredit anyone. But I think back in the day, there was guys that you obviously looked up to. Dwayne De Rosario, even Atiba. Atiba's still going strong right now playing Atiba. You also got Julian De Guzman, Jonathan De Guzman, which is actually Canadian, not from the Dutch, but... But guys like that, like that, those are the guys that we looked up to as well too. So now it seems like there's a whole influx of young players. There's you could pick one from the corner. Obviously, as you heard, Brampton's producing a lot of young talent. This the general Toronto area is producing a lot of talent. So there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of competition, and it's really good for the city, the country, and just MLS soccer in general.
So what do you think watching someone like Alfonso Davies, right, at that
level? Yeah, now Alfonso's now the head of what all these Canadian kids look after. Like, he's he won the Champions League. He was arguably the best left back during that year. So that's amazing for me, for kids to look and see this guy's Canadian. He's not from Europe. He's not from this part. He's Canadian and he's killing it. So that's, for me, that's the best part about it. That God, kids look up now and look at the guys like Alfonso and be like, hey, I'm from the same area as this guy. So it's good.
It's great because there is a, being, to see a Canadian, be even just like in that conversation, best left back in the world, raising Champions League, crushing it on TikTok. The dude does social media.
I'm a little bit older, so I'm not really, I know how Alfonso is, so he's probably killing it on the TikTok.
Yeah. And you got to obviously make your debut after LAFC and the MLS season just began. The experience there, I want to go through your career a little bit, because you're a young dude and you've got a lot of experience and played for a couple teams. Yeah. Is that a feeling of, you know, sometimes it was like, we had Kai Kamara on, who's played for a lot of teams as well. And he, there's that bit of a feeling of like, oh, you know, it'd be nice to be settled in one place, but for then it's also nice that all these, you know, GMs want me.
Yeah.
How's that balance for you?
Yeah, it's just finding the silver lining. Like, obviously, it's player preference. Some players would obviously want to settle down and be somewhere for three, five years. It also depends on the player. Does the player have family? Is he by himself?
Yeah.
But for me, honestly, it's been an incredible experience to be in different organizations, different cities, seeing a lot of different stuff. It's a cultural shock. Like, honestly, it's going from even state to state, like Minnesota to Chicago, is like, maybe what, a state aside, and just seeing this, being there and taking everything in is really, really cool, you know? So I'm pretty much global, stateside.
Yeah.
I know you're a Toronto guy, but you also played in Montreal. Montreal is my second favorite city in the world.
Oh, yeah, really, yeah.
But those are also pretty big rivals. Like, is there even a cultural shock for you, someone from Toronto going and playing in Montreal? Because it's such a different city than anywhere else in North America.
Yeah, it's different. The city's different in the sense that it gives you a European vibe, huh? Don't you think?
Yeah,
it gives you the European vibe. But yeah, the feud between not just Toronto and Montreal, it's just Ontario and Quebec, which is the province, which is for you guys, the states. It's just like, we don't really usually get along with each other. So me going there, it wasn't really like anything culturally shocking or anything like that. But obviously they speak a lot of French and whatnot, but Montreal is a very nice city. I tell people every time I went, I enjoyed my time since when I went there. It was phenomenal. Like, Montreal is a really, really good city.
How do the fans embrace you knowing that you come from Toronto? What was that like?
They made jokes. They made jokes for sure. They teased me a bit, but it was all in fair sport. So it was good. It was good.
Yeah. Okay.
Was there that little added, you know, sort of oomph when you played against Toronto? You're like, I want to score against this team. Because most people may not even realize you came up through Toronto FC 2 and got signed to the top tier. So like, that's like your club, right? You came up through the ranks and all of a sudden you're playing against them. Did you like, I'm going to ball out, let them know what they missed right now?
For sure. Yeah. It gives you a little bit of extra motivation, even being the 4-1 derby too, but like playing against your old team, especially a team that you've been, where it basically grew you up to be who you are in the professional world in terms of soccer. But yeah, those games get me fired up. I don't need no motivation.
Okay.
When you're playing Toronto, you listen to Drake or you listen to like Pressa, somebody like that? You going real low key, Toronto?
I'm all over the place. I like that you know Pressa. That's cool points for me, for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes when we're on the road, Alexis, he puts these Canadian rappers. I'm like, where are you getting these playlists, bro? I don't even know.
I got hooked on these two dudes, K Money and Casper.
Yeah,
they were brothers.
Yeah.
Y'all was like, yo, they're dropping some fire music, and then they went to jail.
The Toronto music scene is really, really, really good, man. You have a lot of good rappers, a lot of good artists. Just like the Toronto soccer area too. Like, a lot of people don't know until they get to Toronto and they see our academies and our players. Like, everywhere that I've been so far, they always ask about our academy, saying like, oh, Toronto's academy is very, very good. I'm like, yeah, man, there's a lot of boys here in Canada that like is kind of under the radar, our academy. But our academy is very, very good. Toronto's, yeah.
Where do you play, though? I mean, half the year, you're covered in snow. Where are you playing?
Yeah, it's a lot of indoor. It's a lot of indoor. Like, it, I would say in terms of states, what like weather-wise, which is really close to us, is Chicago and Minnesota. So, like, from anywhere from May to the ending of September, it'll be really, really nice. Like, nice weather. It's like New York. You guys are from New York. So, after September is when it starts getting cold, and that's, like, we have our indoor league for, what, 2-3 months, and then after we transition over to the outdoor. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough to find space, places to play and stuff like that. Even off-season as a professional player, it's cold, right? So, got to find out ways to play.
Also, real quick, we also heard that you were a big fan of DMX, the late DMX as well. Obviously, this is obviously is very tragic and sad. A lot of us grew up listening to DMX. But why, you know, how did you feel when that happened?
No, it was. I heard it obviously through Twitter, through media, with him being on life support. Obviously, I was praying that it didn't happen. Once I found out, it was just like, it was more of a thank you, like an appreciative thank you for being who he is. He was always true to himself, DMX, and he was always himself no matter what circumstances or what ever came his way. So, like, the authenticity of DMX is what made me, like, you know, gravitate to him from before. So, like, made his soul rest in peace, obviously.
How big a fan were you? Because I remember when I was young and, like, Rough Riders Anthem came out, I was trying to pop wheelies on my bicycle.
No.
Hurt my back.
Same. I always wanted the Rough Rider jacket, like the biker jacket with the R in the back of Money Raheem, right?
With the R.
Fire. I might even get it now. It's sick.
Just, yeah. You want to sweat in L.A., get that. Yeah, get dude. That.
Yeah, it was I'm thinking I'm in LA.
Like, so
yeah, no, save it for the winter in LA.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, awesome.
For that one day where it's cold. Dude, I remember I was there's a high school in Newark that there were the Rough Riders, but like Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders. So it's spelled R-O-U-G-H. And as soon as Rough Riders Anthem came out, somebody spray painted over it and spelled it like R-U-F-F-R-Y-E-D. Yeah. I was like, hell yeah. I'm like, yo, we made a change, yo.
Fire.
Also, we were talking about Toronto a little bit, but you did get a chance to win an MLS Cup while you were with Toronto FC. I know, you know, especially getting to play for several clubs. I know, you know, this is clearly the trophy everyone wants to win and get there. But to, one, get the opportunity to win it at a young age, I feel like there's almost a little bit of you can tell stories to, like, you got to tell other even older players, you're gonna be like, this is what you got to do to get there. You know what I mean? Like, you're already like,
this is veteran. You're trying to win before you retire? I got you.
But what is that? Obviously everybody has that motivation to get there. But what experience do you bring? You know, even to LAFC or to any club that you already got to win that trophy?
Yeah, I think, like, a lot. I get asked this question a lot. I tell people, like, the standard of the team, not just me. It's the standard of the team and how we're supposed to be as a team and how our mentality and stuff like that. I got so much mental training and stability from Toronto FC. So I know what it takes to win and to be a winner and what we need to do, change the mentality or anything like that. So I think just mentality of the way we train, play, and our thought process and how we, you know, develop with each other. I think that's what I could bring. That's what I learned from winning the MLS Cup.
And I know Bob Bradley, you know, hammers that home without a doubt.
Actually, you've played for two very legendarily intense coaches. Yeah. Greg Vanney was intense and Bob Bradley's intense. Who's the most intense?
Definitely Bob, but Bob in a great way. It's not like an intense where it's intimidating. It's intense in a way that gets you going. So I think Bob is really, really, really good at that. He knows when to flip the switch and whatnot. So I think, Bob is really intense, but in a very, very good way.
And we know that people in Toronto are nice, right? We've heard that people in Canada have manners. I'm born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. Bob Bradley is from Jersey. Jersey people, we carry ourselves a little differently. Sometimes we say The nicest sure. things we say sound aggressive. Have you noticed that about Bob?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. But I'm the same way too. So that's why I can gravitate towards him. And that's why I get along with him so much. But Bob is a great guy. I can't really say anything bad about Bob. Bob is just, he's a guy that loves soccer. He's always into it. Like even when we're gone and when I know he's still on soccer, he's just like his son. Mike too. Mike is, they live and breathe soccer, man. It's great. It's great to be around for sure.
I do want to ask very quickly. I want to ask very quickly about the opening game, obviously against Austin FC. There was a very controversial decision or mistake. Bob Bradley did accept responsibility for subbing out Carlos Vela. It was a strange thing. You're not used to seeing that. There was some miscommunication. But what did everyone think? I mean, it was just a strange thing.
I don't know their situation about how it went about, so I can't speak on that. Yeah. I can speak on what I see. I just know I thought he was injured, to be fair. I thought Carlos was injured. And after I seen Poku, Mahalo, as they call him, come on, and after I seen Bello started walking, like he looked like kind of confused. I was like, what's going on here? So I guess it was just a miscommunication. I just thought Bello was actually injured. So, yeah.
It's so weird because we're watching and we're like, Bob is going. I thought he was going to turn red. You know what I mean?
He had to do the interview during the game, and he's like, "Oh, I made a mistake."
That's the type of guy Bob is. Bob will take all credit. If he messes up, he'd be the first one to say it. So that's what I love about him, man. The accountability on his part is incredible. Incredible.
I gotta ask because we were looking at your social media. And we're seeing that you're starting to get into some J1s. You're getting some ones, some Jordans. You really get into the SB game, right?
I'm heavy in the SB game.
All right. So I got a question, right? You're a Toronto dude, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say Drake says you could go on tour with him, right? Mm-hmm. And you get his Nike connection. You get any Nike you ever want, pre-release, pull up. Or
I know you're going to ask. No chance. Or, I can't give them up. I can't.
Or Canada wins a World Cup. Which one do you pick? And you're on the team. And you score the winning goal.
You're not done.
Which one?
Oh, come on. I have to win the World Cup. If I wasn't playing, maybe.
You would be like, y'all tried the best.
Yo.
But I'm not here. We're hosting the next year, so hey. No.
I can't hear you over all these flexing-ass joints I got.
for sure, Canada winning the World Cup. That would be a day and a half. If that happens, I'm not saying it can't. It definitely can happen. We have the confidence now. Our team is shaping up nicely now. Talent starting to come out of Canada, not even for this cycle, the next 2-3 cycles, I think Canada will be really, really strong. So,
okay.
All right.
We have a couple questions from our fans, our support. We have a supporters group called Gully Squad. Keep it gully. Let's go. All right.
That's what we do.
So we had a question. Alexis, he is a pizza expert. And Justin Friedberg, he asked this question. He's a Philadelphia Union fan. He said, what city that you've played in has the best pizza?
Yeah. This is tough. I'm going to give you an answer like this. So in terms of general state, Chicago by far. There's no debate for me.
Okay.
New York is good too, but I haven't really bathed myself in New York.
You didn't play in New York. It's just the cities you've played in.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
The best pizza I've had was in Minnesota.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was a
good times place. Is it called Good Times?
No, it's called Boludo. Boludo.
Ooh, okay. Oh, yeah, I know that
if,
one.
If you're from the Minnesota area and you want to try pizza, go to Boludo's. It'll change your life.
It's Argentinian.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. Boludo's also like a slang.
Yeah, it's a slang. It's a cool little shop.
Didn't know Raheem was so international. You know. Justin Friedberg also wants to know. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Dimitri, who's a massive Montreal fan, and he wants to know, and I guess answer this in the best way you can without getting in trouble. Why do you think it didn't work out for you exactly in Montreal?
I think I would say difference of tactics and the way I was being used, I feel like. So I feel like the way I was being used wasn't as It was obviously a different change from Toronto, so I had to get used to that. So I think it was more that. And after they seen an opportunity to move me on and give me a fresh shirt somewhere else where I could probably be utilized more. So I think it was just that. It wasn't anything crazy or stuff like that. So
cool.
I love Montreal. I love the city of Montreal. I love Montreal. Even though I'm from Ontario, I love Montreal.
Yeah. And it's also, even watching you, especially we were watching you a lot, your early years especially in Toronto. I'm like, you're a creative player, great on the ball. And it's just when I like seeing Raheem Edwards highlights. That's all. So I'm always pulling for you, dude.
I'm going to try to make some more, man.
It's interesting too, because when you were traded, to Chicago. $400,000 in TAM. That was big.
That's big money.
That's big MLS money.
That's good money.
Okay. Anything else? Oh, and then we just had a Nicole Hack. She's a big Chicago Fire. She's taken a photo with you that she sent to us as well, which is cool. But she said, "What opportunities are you looking for with LAFC that you may have not had with other teams?" And she mentions again that you were very much appreciated in Chicago.
I feel the love in Chicago. Chicago, for me, that's where my son was born. I'm in love with the city of Chicago. I always hope the best for Chicago Fire fans and everything like that. But being here in LAFC now, I think I'm going to be utilized more as an attacking threat. So here is going to be more switching my mentality and how I think about the game. Bob has already been instilling in me to be mentally engaged and whatnot. So they're going to push me hard and they're gonna make sure that I'm focused and I'm ready to go at all times.
All right.
Awesome.
Okay. Raheem Edwards, dude, thank you so much for joining us today, man. This has been absolutely awesome.
It's been fun, guys. Honestly, it's been
I appreciate
fun.
It. Okay.
Did you think we were going to drop a Pressa reference on this?
Like, that's the surprise of the day. Like, okay. That's crazy.
Anything could happen here, okay? We do our homework, all right?
We digging in the crates, my G.
Raheem, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
No, you can just follow me on my socials. My name is Raheem, R-V with a V-H-E-M. And after, I don't know if it's underscore. Yeah, it's underscore. Underscore. I don't even know my social, but yeah, there it is. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and
All right. Yes. Check him out. Obviously, watch him at LAFC week in and week out. Okay. So let us do just another reminder as well. Follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social platforms. Follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. Okay. Let's do a couple other pieces of business. We have to do our Golazo GIF. We got to, everybody, you can speak, you cannot speak, you can do whatever you want. How are you celebrating a goal on this show? Alexis, do you want to give him a scenario?
Scenario. You get subbed in the 90th minute, right?
Yeah.
And you score a goal that wins Canada the Gold Cup, right? You've got your girls in the audience, your kids in the audience, and it just so happened that Drake just put on the TV right when you did that. How are you celebrating? What's your GIF?
What's my GIF? That's a tough one, man. I'm kind of wild. Like if I score the 90th minute and we won a cup, I think the shirt is coming off, and the shorts are coming off too.
Can we get Fubo to animate that with a blur?
The shorts and the shirt is coming off. All you're gonna see me is in my underwear and my socks, man. And I'm gonna go nuts.
And that GPS joint, you're gonna look like Brandi Chastain out there when you get the shirt off.
No, you guys are hilarious.
All right, perfect. Raheem, dude, thank you so much for doing this, man. We really appreciate it. Best of luck this season with LAFC. All right, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Raheem Edwards, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!